So our text for this morning's meditation is from Ephesians chapter 3, these words, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known. So our text, you may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on Epiphany we celebrate the arrival of the wise men in Bethlehem, the wise men drawn to the King of the Jews, King Jesus, Jesus Christ, by a star they saw in the east. The star appearing when he was born and traveling west, they finally arrived there in Bethlehem. The wise men did, and in Bethlehem, Jesus and Mary were in the house there. Not a stable, for the census was over, long over, and everyone who had traveled to Bethlehem to be enrolled in that census had presumably by that time gone back to their hometowns. But Mary and Joseph and Jesus, they'd stayed. So a house had become available to them, and that's where they were. The greater significance of Epiphany, of the arrival of the wise men from the east, by their presentation of the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, was that Jesus was not simply to be the Christ, the Messiah of the Jews. Jesus was also not simply to be the king of that one people of all the peoples of the world, that is, the Jews. But Jesus was to be the Savior and even the King of the entire world. The Savior, the King of all people everywhere. So the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Christians in Ephesus, a congregation of Christians there, made up of both Jews and Greeks, and their pastor, Timothy, with a foot himself in both worlds, Timothy's mother having been Jewish and his father Greek. So the Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians about Christ being for all people everywhere, to me, Paul wrote, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone. What is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things? Now we come to our text for the sermon, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he had realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. So, the Holy Spirit this morning to us. Now, it is within memory, that is, we can remember a time when the church, the Christian church, would indeed do exactly that, and that is to make known to the world the manifold wisdom of God. Even in my father's generation, way back in the early 1960s, when he first entered the ministry out there in western South Dakota, the local pastor was understood still in many places to be the voice of God in that place. Not just for the members of a given congregation, but for the entire community. The pastor was to make known, even there in western South Dakota, the manifold wisdom of God in Jesus Christ. Impressive, then, was what happened on my vicarage in Iowa back in the late 1980s, when the pastors of the town got together and successfully moved the observance of Halloween, that is, trick-or-treating, from Wednesday night to Tuesday night, because Halloween that year would fall on Wednesday. And Wednesday was when instruction of the children of that community for confirmation went on in all of the churches there. That's in a community of 8,000 people, so it wasn't a little thing that they accomplished. I mean, talk about a throwback to more ancient times when the church still would speak to the world and the world would listen. I was, as a vicar, incredibly impressed that they could do this. But then something odd happened. The high school football team won their playoff game, and their next game would be on that Wednesday night. The Wednesday night cleared of trick-or-treating so that all of the children in the town could be in church. Well, Halloween was one thing. a high school playoff game another. And so all the church activities were canceled so the kids could go to the game. So they got Halloween and the football game. Now that incident, in a nutshell, I think, demonstrates why the church has lost its voice in the world. Why the manifold wisdom of God is ignored by the world. For Christians themselves, or those who call themselves Christians, also can be swayed to pursue the activities of the world at the drop of a hat, at the expense of acquiring the manifold wisdom of God. Why should the world be interested in that wisdom? For obviously, it's not even that important to the Christians. Yes, we'd like to indict the world for all of its sins, which are many and various, but then we ourselves as Christians think nothing of ignoring the manifold wisdom of God that we are to proclaim to the world. And certainly, so often, simply cannot be bothered with it. But that wisdom, that manifold wisdom of God through Jesus Christ, it is for us. And it is for all people. It's for every nation of the earth. Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, the Savior of the world, the King of the world, whose riches are unsearchable. That means the bottom of the depth of his meaning for us. We're never going to get to that. We're never going to get to that. We're never going to reach it. For from Christ are all things. And through Christ are all things. And to Christ are all things. All things, everything, the entire world. So, the star that drew the wise men to Christ, nature itself, the creation proclaiming the birth of the incarnation of its creator. But who has time for that? Who has time for that wisdom which is so clear, so beneficial? But how does it go then? How is it going, this ignoring of the manifold wisdom of God? That is the world separating itself from the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ. And even Christians themselves distancing themselves from it. How's that working out for us? Yes, hypocrisy within the churches of the world is almost daily news, with this horrific scandal and that terrible revelation. Justly, the world can condemn the acts of churchly personages and institutions for their horrific crimes, both of the past and the present. But such things are not of Christ. Nor are they Christian, and they never have been, nor they ever will be. But their occurrence has occasioned the world declaring to the church in no uncertain terms, we don't want any of your wisdom. And on top of that, then there are church bodies who simply have abandoned the manifold wisdom of God in Christ for the ways of the world, and have done so so that they can be relevant to the world, so they think. But of course, there's a logical problem here. For if the church, the manifold wisdom of God, is simply the wisdom of the world, well, then what's the point of the church sharing anything with the world at all? It's not that the situation is new, however. If we read of the history of Israel in the Old Testament, for example, what was the problem at that time but that the church, that is, visible Israel, had abandoned God, had abandoned its covenant with God, living in hypocrisy, and so the prophets, like Elijah, were sent by God to them. And they simply then just wished to kill them, prophets like Elijah. And we can also list Moses and Samuel and Elisha and Hosea and Zephaniah and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, all prophets who spoke against what had become the church of the Old Testament, that is, the children of Israel gathered around the temple in Jerusalem doing whatever it is they saw fit to do. So the church's situation today is nothing new. That is corruption, hypocrisy that's been discovered and exposed, needing then to be called out embarrassingly not only by the world but also by the true visible church on earth, the holy Christian church. That is the church that the Holy Spirit creates. Those who are gathered where the Word of God is taught in all its truth and purity, and the sacraments are administered according to the commands of Christ. Where we find that in the world, in these end times, we found the church, the one holy Christian and apostolic church. And it's through that church that the manifold wisdom of God can now be made known to the world. For it is that wisdom for the world and should be proclaimed to the world. The light that is the free forgiveness that is ours in Jesus Christ, in which we live and by which we live and for which we live. The light of Christ, the manifold wisdom of God, is to be proclaimed throughout the world so that the world too hears of sin and death and destruction, from which there is the forgiveness of sin. And there's life. And there's recreation, which occurs only in Jesus Christ, who redefines man daily through the preaching of his words. Yes, Christ redefines man daily so that man becomes something other than what he is in the world. How odd it was this past week, watching the coverage out of New Orleans, all sorts of people struggling somehow to define what happened there. A horrific act that just could not be comprehended. Those killed coming to be identified not by their names, but by what they were and what they hoped to become and what their dreams had been. City officials then bending over backwards, assuring the nation that New Orleans is a safe city so that tourists coming to them. And by Thursday, Bourbon Street was open for business once again, and the Sugar Bowl went on, and life returned to what it apparently is understood to be by the world. That is just simply a series of experiences, a quest to fulfill hopes and desires. And well, if you find yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time, stinks for you. It's just too bad. Business must go on. Football must be played. Tourism promoted. Interviews on the 20th anniversary of the Indian Ocean tsunami, that tsunami that killed 228,000 people, 228,000 in 2004. Those interviews, they painted a different picture, didn't they? Yes, the interviewees survived, but their memories remained vivid, and their anguish, raw. Raw. What is there to life? Is life so fragile that it can be wiped away in a moment? Is our situation really that tenuous? Well, yes, it is. So the thriving business at the pagan temples in Ephesus back in the first century, in Paul's day, in Timothy's day, people worshiping and sacrificing and praying to whatever idol they could find in the hopes of somehow positively affecting their lives in one way or another, somehow, some way, in some fashion, affecting the whims of fate. But the better way is the manifold wisdom of God in Jesus Christ. The better way is to seek and find Jesus Christ, as did the wise men from the east. The better way is to fall down and worship the Christ as the Lord and Savior of the world and dedicate our lives, our time, our talent, our treasures to Him as our Savior from sin and death and the power of the devil. Yes, the world doesn't want to hear of this either. But the world does not want to hear about how the world's going to come to an end and come to an end in more horrific events than those of this past week. Or even 20 years ago. And it will not be an issue of fate, but of judgment against sin and its wages, and that it's death. The only way through all of these things, in the here and now, or even life, the thought of such things, is through faith in the Savior of the entire world from them. And that is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus, then, not only His life and death and resurrection from the dead, but our life in Jesus, in the here and now, and His return in judgment on the last day, that now should be proclaimed throughout the world. The mystery hidden for ages, but now revealed. It is the true church and only the true church which has this message to proclaim, and so is tasked with proclaiming it, giving the world the context, the very context, the only true context for its life in the here and now. So yes, it is the church that is to make known the manifold wisdom of God to the world. And that is what the world truly is, but how the world can, through Jesus Christ, ultimately be saved from itself. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.